Friends, please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord Christ, as we come together now in this place, we are mindful of our relationship with you. We are mindful of our relationship with each other. And we are mindful, Lord God, of the relationship with the world. As we seek to live this life up, in, and out, we ask, Lord God, that you would help us to imitate you, to follow you, to seek to model our lives after you and those whom follow. Lord God, as we come together now, meet and encounter each of us where we need to be met. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the beginning, friends, of our three-week discipleship launch sermon series, Back to Basics. And again, a plug for the little wristbands if you want to take those with you. I still have my 1-0, one that I look at each day to remind myself to seek first the kingdom of God. And this one, Back to Basics, is really at the heart of what we want to invite all of you to consider over the next 3 weeks, and particularly for your life, is to seek a way to find a connection to God in a new, perhaps deeper way. Now, part of our relationship with God is this. It is that it needs to be intentional. Take a moment, think of every single meaningful relationship in your life. Think about the people who mean the most to you, who you value. Let me ask a question. How many of you communicate with them on a semi-regular basis? Raise your hands. And communication in our world today can be what? It can be calling on the phone. It can be Facebook. It can be text. It can be all of those things. You'd be surprised how many people contact me for pastoral care via text. Or I find out about something on Facebook or Twitter that's going on in their lives. Our world is so full of communication today, but it's important that all of those main relationships in your life, there is an essential piece to that, which is taking intentional time to communicate. And that is just the same with our relationship with God. So now take a moment and think about the ways that you communicate with God. Where and when do you seek to find relationship with Jesus? Our lessons today give us a little bit of a clue, but I'm also going to pull out some other ones for us to look at. Our first lesson today from Psalm 150 is important to me because it talks about the importance of seeking out a ways to worship God. And one of the things that I love about Psalm 50 is it reminds me of a group of people who have helped me to have a relationship with God. And I'd like all of you to take a moment to turn and look at our ensemble. Now, when I'm trying to have a relationship with God, it's important to me that I'm able to sing and to be among people of God. And look at our lesson for today. Now, notice what they say. Praise the Lord. And then it says, praise him with trumpet sound. Now, we don't have a trumpet sound, but something like a trumpet sound, as I was told by Charlene, one of the teachers at Shenandoah, is that her flute is like that. So we have a trumpet sound, and sometimes we actually have real trumpet sounds when we invite the rest of your family to come here. We have trumpet sounds. Praise him with lute and harp, string instruments. Do we have any string instruments, Barbara? What do we have?
We have bass and we have
guitar. Do we have any strings and pipes? Well, we have pipes, right? Pipes, right? Sometimes we have string instruments, Julie, right? And wonder, do we have any clashing cymbals? Somebody clash a cymbal for me. Yeah. So if you think about the things that we're supposed to have in worship, we have all of them. But what's most important about that, and what Charlene was able to point out to me, is that most of these symbols, like Julie showed us, are all things that people could carry with them. These were simple instruments, which tells me that as you come to worship God in whatever way it is that you're seeking to worship God and connect with God, what you have, what you can bring is all that matters. It doesn't need to be the Rolls Royce of things. It doesn't need to be the most expensive of things. It can be whatever it is that you have to offer God in the midst of your worship, you do that. And that's what this ensemble does in spades. They offer themselves and we all connect to God. I would say that all of us come here often and want all of us that are here come here because we love to sing, and we thank you for the way that you have inspired us to do that. Jesus was often found in worship. He would be at the synagogues. And so as you seek to grow in your relationship with God, very simply, it is important that you find a place and a time to worship. To be around the people who are using their gifts to help you praise God. Another person who I want to speak about today is Joanne Lyons. How many of you guys know Joanne? None of you know her, probably. She was my Sunday school teacher when I was growing up. But I wish you had known her. I mean, she's still alive. I wish you would know her. Today is Rally Day, and it's the beginning of our work. So when I think about what does it mean to be in relationship with Jesus, well, she taught me something very important, and I want to read these lessons. This is something that Jesus said. Jesus said, "Then little children were being brought to him in order that he may lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs.' And he laid his hands on them and went on his way." It seems that for us to imitate Jesus, it means that we have to imitate the reality that he loved kids. And he valued teaching kids, and Joanne Lyons did that. She would have us get together and we would do things like, did anybody ever do Bible races? She would divide us up and then she would say, "Okay, find the book of Matthew." And then everybody would look at the table of contents because we had no clue where the Gospel of Matthew was. And then she would do that, but then she would say, "Find this story," or whatever. And we would do that. And what it told me from a very young age is that this book mattered. That part of being in relationship with God was knowing a little bit about this book. That making it a part of your life. Is it a part of yours? Is reading scripture or listening to scripture now. You can listen on, did you know you can have the whole Bible? You can listen to it as your driving place. How many of you make this central in your life? As we are intentional about our up life, of being in connection with the Father, one of those things that is central is knowing the gift of Holy Scripture. Imitating Jesus is welcoming in those who seek to learn about the importance of the Bible. Another wonderful scripture that I love that Jesus shared was also found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's in chapter 10. And it's these words. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of even the little ones in the name of disciple, truly I tell you that none of them will lose their reward." It seems that to follow Jesus, to imitate Jesus, is about being a person of welcome. And as I think of people who welcome, I want to ask you a question. How many of you had been welcomed into this place by Glenn Combs? I see his whole family over here. Glenn Combs would stand back there and would welcome you to this place. And he would model for us what it meant to be in relationship with the Father. You see, Glenn didn't do that simply because Glenn was nice, although he was probably the nicest person ever. But he did it because he welcomed you in the name of Jesus Christ. He wanted you to experience God in a deep and powerful way here. And so because of that, many of us are here today. Many of us remember that amazing gift he gave, that imitation that of Jesus that he lived out, that we are called to do the same. So living the up life connects us to such a way that we not only come to worship, that we seek to find ways to engage Scripture with Glended in spades for sure, but also to be willing to be in worship and to welcome those around us. I invite each of you, before you leave today, to say hello to someone you don't know. Go up to them and say, "I'm glad you're here. Tell me your name." Everybody here, do that. Because the more we do that, the closer we get. Another piece of scripture that I want to lift up for you is from the Gospel of Mark. And tell you a quick story. This text right here from Mark chapter 1. Well, that evening at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is searching for you." And so Jesus says, "Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I might proclaim the message there also. For that is why I have come." Jesus, notice, is healing the whole town, gets up in the morning, goes and prays, and then goes out to another neighboring town and preaches the gospel. In the midst of all of that activity, our Lord Jesus takes time to pray. And someone who I am very close to in my life does that in an amazing way. I don't know about you when you got married. Hopefully you were super, super, super duper in love. And I was super duper, super duper in love with my wife. But Heidi and I got married knowing that we were very different. We got married knowing that it was going to not be easy from the beginning. You know, we actually, our song that we sang to, the song we danced to, was a song, "I'll Be" by Edwin McCain. And in that, one of the refrains is, "I'll be better when I'm older." So when we got married, we knew that we were a work in progress from the beginning. We knew our partner wasn't perfect and that they got on our nerves. So we started this whole relationship knowing that. But here's the beautiful thing about that, though. Is that I'm not surprised what I've learned from her. And one of the things I've learned from my wife is the ability to seek God in time away prayer. There's no doubt in my mind, friends, that we can pray all day. I do it. We can drive down the road and we can say a little prayer. We can be in the middle of the grocery store and say, "God, help me. There are lines too long and the people are taking way too long. Why'd they buy all that stuff?" We can do all those things in our life. But there is something about taking time away like Jesus did, alone to be in prayer. And I know that my wife does that amazing. Every single decision she ever makes, any decision that we make together, we take time to do that. To just be in prayer and listen for God. Because if you think about the wonderful, great relationships of your life, how many of them do not include you listening to the other one? Every meaningful relationship is that you listen. And Heidi takes time to listen. She leads classes here about listening. She takes on challenges like running for office. She doesn't want to run for office. That's never been anything. She doesn't want to do that. But people invited her. People asked her. People challenged her to do it. And so she prayed about it, and she did. And I'm proud of her for it. I'm proud of her for taking on the things that she takes on. Because she goes in deeply in prayer and feels that God's presence has led her to that, even if it's going to be tough. But that's what living that up life is connecting with God and saying, "God, what are you inviting me to do My wife has taught me that in so many ways. The final piece is our gospel lesson for today that Rachel read from John 4, which says these words. I'm almost there. But the hour is coming, and it's now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship Him. The true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. And when I think about that reading today, I think of these two pictures that I have in my kitchen. Can you see them? Or not my kitchen, our dining room. Has anybody ever seen these before? One of them is of an old gentleman in a plaid shirt with a beard, and he's praying before a meal of soup and bread with a Bible and his glasses, and he's got his hands bowed in prayer. The other picture is of an older woman, also with her hands bowed in prayer, with her Bible open and her glasses on the Bible, with some bread and cheese and a little pitcher. And these remind me of the people I know who worshiped in spirit and truth so fully, my grandparents. You see, I was sharing with my father one time. I said, "You know, Dad, whenever I visit Grandma and Grandpa, almost every morning when I wake up, I walk down the hall, and there I see Grandma reading the Bible and Grandpa beside her reading his Bible. I see that almost every day when I get up." And my dad said, "That's what I saw every day as well." It was not unheard of for my grandmother to be singing hymns that she loved. I'm not sure I've ever seen such meaningful worship as my grandma sitting at the table with her Bible open and her eyes held down, my grandfather with his incredible bass, and them sitting there singing an old Christian song together. You see, having that up relationship is something that's not only done individually, it's done with the people we have the most important relationships with in our life anyway. And what a gift that is. Husband and wife, partner and partner, if we're father, son, child, daughter, mother, daughter, grandma, grandson, friend, whatever it is, we can find a way to intentionally connect with God, both individually but also with one another. And as we do, when we do, what we do, what we see is that our lives are then lived out in meaningful ways, amazing ways. People give their time and effort to make music. People give their time to teach our young people. People give their time to welcome people to worship and make them feel comfortable and loved. People take time to do things that challenge them in their own lives. And people who, just in the living of their lives, each and every day, have shaped two generations of pastors. Just imagine, as you live your life, and as you seek a deeper relationship with God in the ways that you do, think about the people whose lives that you will change. In Jesus' name, amen.